Now, it typically feels good outside. It doesn't feel good outside right now because everybody's freezing their butts off. But it feels good in here to get ready to talk sports with Double T Trent Tucker. It's In the Zone. Henry Lake in for Dave Senekin. Dave Senekin is in the state of Wisconsin with his, I think he's with his daughter. I think they might have went to the Dells. I saw him tweet that last night. But it's me, Trent, and the other Trent producing on the other side of the glass for the next couple of hours. So, Double T Trent Tucker, man, it's your show. It's your world. How you doing, man?
What's up, Lake, man?
I'm doing all right.
Things good?
I'm trying to stay warm.
Hey,
it's real out there. Let's be honest. It's real out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's real in these streets.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Trying to stay warm in, over the next week. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. But this is the thing. It's so funny because when it gets this cold, we talk about the weather and all of that. And it's going to get much colder, I think, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week.
Yeah.
And I know that districts and people are talking about, and even some people, the new governor-elect, are talking about maybe possibly just saying, you know what, we're not going to have school maybe a day or two.
That's possible.
Yeah. This is the deal, though. Being from here, okay, and living here pretty much my entire life, outside of college and then my recent stint in Kansas City, I'm not a complainer about it. You know right. what I'm saying? Like, yeah. like we know that this is part of the deal.
This is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, we're here. We acknowledge that it's a cold climate, and we just deal with it.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, but I understand with the governor coming out and saying that he may cancel schools next week because, you know, during my time at the Minneapolis public schools, you know, we had really cold days and the wind chill, you know, drop below, you know, 15, 20 below. It's unsafe for kids to be outside waiting for
yep.
a bus. And we all know that, you know, buses have, you know, they have the tendency to run late.
Mm-hmm.
And some kids are really not prepared, you know, when they go outside to face those type of temperatures. And it could be a dangerous place for them. So
absolutely.
If it gets down below 25 at night, I could see them canceling the school the next day.
Well, I think on Wednesday, according to the when I went to weather.com and the Weather Channel just in the last 36 hours, they're saying that the high on next Wednesday is going to be -9. That's going to be the high.
That's the high.
And then the actual low is going to be 22. But all of that's without the wind chill.
Right. So, I mean, if it's 25 below on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night, it's unsafe to put those kids out there to wait for a bus to go to school. It's just a bad situation for them.
It's actually been updated, and the high next Wednesday is going to be negative 11.
Oh.
Negative 11 with 11-mile-an-hour winds.
Oof.
Minus 20, and then the night before on Tuesday is going to be minus 26.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right, buckle up. Buckle up. But that's how we do. That's how we do here in the state of Minnesota. We grind it out regardless of the weather. Speaking of grinding it out, the Utah Jazz last night defeated our Minnesota Timberwolves, and they grinded it out 106-102. And this actually ended up being an entertaining game at the end. Now, there were parts or a good chunk right in the middle of the game where it wasn't that entertaining if you're a Wolves fan. If you're watching it, you're saying to yourself, you're like, man, we're just on the struggle bus tonight. We're outmanned. We didn't have Teague last night. We didn't have Derrick Rose. There was a moment in which Taj Gibson got upset in regards to not getting a call. He got ejected after getting a couple of technicals. So we were in a bad spot. But this team got some fire. And they said, no, we're not going down easy. We know that we're on the road against a good Utah Jazz team that's really starting to come on. Because I think that going into last night, the Utah Jazz had won 7 of their last 8 games. And what ended up happening was the Minnesota Timberwolves at the end of the game had an opportunity to win. They had a chance to take the lead, to tie the game with about 13 seconds left. And unfortunately, it was a missed shot by Luol Deng. And then after that, still only trailing by, I want to say it was
by three.
By three, they ended up on the inbound. It seemed as though Jared Bayless didn't. It was good defense by Utah.
It was really good defense.
It was really good. I'm going to give them props.
They played great defense.
They did. They played great defense.
Sequence, yeah.
I didn't think that Bayless did a great job of creating space on the floor. But to your point, though, Utah played great defense down the stretch.
Well, yeah, they switched every cross, every down screen they switched. And they knew that the only shot that could hurt them at that time was a three-point shot. So they played that sequence, you know, perfectly for them to have a chance to win the game coming down the stretch. But you have to give the Wolves a ton of credit, you know, at the end of a three-game road trip. You know, you go 2-3 on the road trip.
And it was
always
a back-to-back.
That's always nice to see. You know, you're down by, 21 to start the fourth quarter, I believe, something like that. It's easy for most teams to just go away and say, hey, you know, we had a successful trip. Things are not going our way. But, you know, this is the best I've seen Karl Anthony Towns play from an effort standpoint. You know, not just a point production standpoint, but from an effort standpoint. I mean, he really laid it on the line in the fourth quarter with his effort and his energy, you know, to get his team into a situation where they almost came back and won that basketball game.
All right, let's talk about Karl Anthony Towns here for a few minutes. And as always, phone lines are available, 651-989-5326, 1-800-320-5326. Cat last night in 29 minutes because he was in some foul trouble, 33 points and 10 rebounds and 4 assists and 3 blocks. I absolutely 100% agree with you in regards to looking at and evaluating Karl Anthony Towns' season so far and what he's done ever since the trade. I have been someone who, because when I look at players that have a lot of talent, I expect a lot out of them. And we all look at Cat, and he was a number one overall pick. And I said to myself, for like the last couple of years, he's showing signs of being a real good star in this league. And we think that he's a guy that can maybe possibly carry this franchise. But I've been critical of him in moments. You know, like when he faces Joel Embiid, I want to see more fire out of him. Because remember, Joel, he'll get the best of him. Then he'll troll him. I want to see him, you know, bring it every night. Cat is, and I tweeted this last night, Cat is playing out of his mind right now. And you're right. The difference is not necessarily just the numbers, but it's the effort and what he's giving you on defense. That is a Karl Anthony Towns, this version of him, I sign up for it every day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, he gave a great effort on both ends last night. You know, he was exhausted. His team was exhausted. And as I mentioned, you know, when you're in those situations, when you're down big, especially in Salt Lake City, it's just easy to pack the bag, get on the plane, and take the trip home. But, you know, from an energy and an effort standpoint, you know, that's the best I've seen him play in the 3 or 4 years that he's been here. Now, he's scored more points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's put up big numbers, you know, but from an effort standpoint, you know, he went to the offensive glass. He was blocking shots. You know, he took his time. He went to the basket offensively. He was doing everything he could from an effort standpoint to give his team a chance to win. And we haven't seen that from him, especially against some of the bigger name centers in the league.
What do you think is, outside of just the overall, the effort, it seems like he's raising his effort level some. Is there anything else different about his game?
Well, you know, his game is pretty much the same. The thing that troubles, you know, most of the people who watch him on a nightly basis is that he continues to pick up these cheap fouls.
Yes, I was just about to ask you about that.
And he's going to have to learn, you know, that you can't get frustrated. You can't put yourself in a situation where you're going to sit on the bench for the entire first half. It's because you're picking up cheap fouls. That's mm-hmm. the next maturation process, you know, for him. He's too important to his team, you know, to be on the bench for a large portion of the game.
Did you think that I agree with you. I think that he has to do a better job of staying out of foul trouble, and he does pick up cheap fouls. I thought that the one where he ended up going to the bench, it was his third foul, and it was the one where Rubio was kind of trying to create contact, and he was going to the hole. I thought that was a cheapie that they could have kept. I didn't like that call. Yeah, I didn't like that call. I just really felt like he wasn't set in the spot. He was moving, but he had his hands up, and I just thought it was one in which that was a tough call. And especially when you get 3.5, that's really, really tough. Before halftime, that's tough to deal with.
Well, he's always reaching. And he's going to have to stop reaching. I know you like to go to the offensive glass, but if the opportunity is not there, you have to back away. And, you know, he's going to have to understand, you know, that, you know, you can't make a play on defense every single time. Sometimes mm-hmm. the guy beats you. And if he beats you with a quick move here or there, you have to let him go. Because picking up two cheap fouls in the first half, you know, or in the first quarter, is going to hurt your team. And for him to have to sit beside Ryan Saunders, for most of the first half is a bad thing for the Wolves.
Absolutely. And that's what Ryan mentioned post game when he was being interviewed on FSN, and he was being asked by one of the reporters, when it comes to Cat and the foul trouble and how different is it, that's a no-brainer. When Karl-Anthony Towns is on the basketball court, I mean, life is so much better for Timberwolves fans and for that team, and especially in a situation like last night where you don't have Derrick Rose that you can go to. You still don't have Robert Covington, and I want to get updated on when is he going to be back with the squad, because he's been down for some time.
Yeah, I mean, nobody knows at this stage. And Karl-Anthony Towns and Wiggins, those two guys have to continue to lift their games from a consistency standpoint on a nightly basis. Because right now they are touted to be the best two players on the team. And whether, this guy is here or not, those two guys have to be consistent on a nightly basis to put this team in a situation to win basketball games, especially on the road and when the game is on the line.
All right, Henry Lake in for Dave Seneca. We'll take your phone calls over the course of the next couple of hours here till 10 o'clock here on In the Zone. But coming up next, I do want to get – we're going to stay with the Wolves because there's a couple of other individuals specifically that I want to discuss or talk about with Trent, get his take on both Andrew Wiggins, and then there's a couple of things that occurred last night specifically to the Utah Jazz game that I have a question about as well. We'll get to more of that in the Zone. Double T, Trent Tucker, Henry Lake on the Fan.
In the Zone on the Fan.
All right, welcome back in the Zone. Henry Lake, Trent Tucker, Henry Lake in for Dave Senekin, who's out today, obviously. Taking your phone call, 651-989-5326, 1-800-320-5326. We're talking T-Wolves in their game last night. They fall to the Utah Jazz 106-102. They're back in action tomorrow evening and facing the Utah Jazz. I thought that overall, though, exciting game, exciting finish. I did have an issue, though, with the shot by Luol Deng at the end of the game. It was a rushed three-point shot. They were in a situation where they get an offensive rebound. They, in my estimation, even before that first shot was taken and they got the offensive rebound, they should have called a timeout. I wanted us to get a good look. He gets the rebound. He rushes over to the corner, and his feet are not even barely set. He turns around and jacks up a three-point shot. Some people say that he was wide open. I say that it's Luol Deng, who is not prolific from the three-point line. He's not got a ton of playing time, so he's rusty as heck. And it was a rush shot, and he's a vet. Like, to me, just knowing the situation and how much time is on the clock and knowing you got a timeout there, I thought that it was a bad decision. Let's just put it like that, by Luol Deng.
Well, all the things you just talked about, not having a lot of playing time, and then when you don't play often, you don't have clock management in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Wolves came down by one, they didn't call a timeout, so they went with the play. They took a shot. That was a scramble for a loose ball, like you said, off an offensive rebound. And at that time, most guys are thinking that the clock is running down. I have to get a shot up very quickly, not really understanding, time and situation at that time. And he took a quick shot. That's why you like to, to have, in the second half, your offensive end in front of your bench, so your coach now might be in a situation to call a timeout, so that you can run more play to see if you can win the game. But that can happen, to most players, but you have to give, as you and I talked about, the Wolves a great deal of credit, for showing the fight with a great deal of energy and effort to get themselves back into their game.
And a guy that I want to give props to in regards to last night, and he didn't shoot well from the floor, and I'm not going to even sit here and try to front like he did, although he knocked down some nice three-point baskets. But just the amount of minutes that he played, Jer Bayless, like, late in that fourth quarter, he was gassed.
He played almost over 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's he played 40 minutes.
Close
last
to 40
night.
Minutes.
Yeah, no, he played 40 minutes.
He played 40, okay.
Yeah. But my point is, he was gassed.
Oh, for sure.
And he was out there laying it on the line.
Oh, they all were.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Utah's a tough place to play. You know, the altitude is a little
high. They couldn't go to Rose or Teague or any of those guys.
And when you're down by, 20-plus points to start the fourth quarter, you know, it takes a lot of energy to get yourself back into a situation to win. And you have to take your hat off to them. I mean, for sure, they were out of gas. You're asking a guy who just joined the team, 2 weeks ago, to play, 40-plus minutes in a tough environment like that. And to help his team almost win that basketball game coming down the stretch. That's a good sign to see for any coach.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, let's head to the phone lines here. We got a few people that want to talk about Andrew Wiggins, who I want to discuss and talk about too here in just 1 second. But let's start with Matt in St. Paul. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Lake, welcome back in town.
Appreciate it, man.
Hey, want to just get your take on this. I want to see how Wig and Cat can grow together. I mean, they're both only 23. I hear all this clamoring about everyone wants to trade Wiggins. You got to keep them in town for the next 2-3 years and see how this thing plays out with those two. And I think get a new point guard and a pass-first guy and see what we can do as these guys grow together.
Oh, thanks to the phone call from Matt in St. Paul, which it's a perfect setup in terms of Matt's phone call in regards to Andrew Wiggins, because I wanted to talk about this. And let me preface my statement, Double T, by saying that I know that I'm going to come off right now in this moment as an Andrew Wiggins apologist. I know I'm going to come off that way because everybody has him in the crosshairs right now, okay? And if I come off like that, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to be overly concerned about it because I've said from day one and for the last few years, yes, Andrew Wiggins is still a piece. He's a work in progress. Okay, that's what he is. He's a work in progress. Yes, he was a number one pick. Yes, he's got athleticism out of this world. Yes, he needs to continue to get better and be more consistent. To me, the inconsistency is the number one thing that I have an issue with Andrew Wiggins. But all these people clamoring to rip his head off and talk about getting him out of town and trade, I'm not on board with that. I think it's illogical. I don't think that it makes any sense. I don't know what people think that they're going to get for Andrew Wiggins. I don't. I'm not on board with that. And so if you want to say Lake's all on board for Andrew Wiggins staying in Minnesota, yes, I am on board for him staying in Minnesota because I think that he's, 23 years old, about to turn 24 in a month or so, and he's got a lot of growing still to do. But this guy's got an immense amount of talent. Now look, if I'm still saying this 2 years from now, then go ahead and crush me. But right now, I am not on board in any way, shape, or form. We're talking about trading Andrew Wiggins or just trying to beat him down because of the fact that he, at least to this point, hasn't lived up to the hype that everybody else created for him.
Well, the one thing I would like to see, from Andrew Wiggins on a nightly basis, it's not just about the points. It's about him becoming a better and more consistent defensive player. I think he can become a really good defensive player with his athleticism and also become a better rebounder. You know, those two factors, if they can grow in his game, now you're going to see him become more all-around.
You want to see more nights like last year. He had 11 rebounds.
Because you know, playing defense and rebound is an effort and energy thing. And if you're giving me that on a consistent basis, then the offense is going to take care of itself.
Yep. I just, when you hear people say trade Wiggins and all that, how do you feel about that?
Well, I like Andrew Wiggins. And, he, like you said, he brings a great deal of talent, to the table. It's hard to get young, talented players like that. And, I've seen him grow over the last few years, but I would like to see him grow in different areas. Today's game is all about offense, but for a team like the Wolves, it starts on the defensive end. And Andrew Wiggins is a guy, that could become one of the better defenders in the game just because of his athleticism, his size, his length, his ability to take away, certain things from an offensive player. But that requires a great deal of energy and effort. And it has to be a mindset, You know, he could be close to a 10-rebound type guy at night because he's on the floor long enough. And there's a lot of missed shots out there that he could go and get. I would like to see him become more aggressive on the defensive end. And if he becomes more aggressive on the defensive end, like I mentioned before, his offensive game is going to take care of itself.
And Andrew Wiggins last night, not a good night shooting the basketball. It was a really bad night, to be honest with you. 8 of 26 from the floor. 1 of 4 from three point line, and he missed. He was the only Wolves player that missed a free throw last night.
Well, you know, you want to see players shoot better than 8 for 26. But if you're on the floor, you know, for a large portion of the game, you know, are you doing other things to impact the game? You know, and just because a guy doesn't shoot well, doesn't mean that he can't play well.
Exactly.
And I think as he continues to grow, you know, he's going to find, you know, different things to do on the floor, so that he can play better to help his team to become better.
Let's go to the Preacher Man. What's up, Preacher Man?
The dynamic duo this morning. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Preacher Man. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
You staying warm?
Absolutely. And you guys are supposed to be positive. You got to stop giving these weather reports.
I know, man. We just have a little fun.
The heat wave, we got a 26.
Yeah.
But look here, to Wiggins, you could not be more right, Mr. Lake. Wiggins has been, number one, the most durable small forward in the game over the last 5 years. And as far as Towns is concerned, Towns is getting the young man beat out of him, if you will. He's finding out that it's a bump and grind. The finesse comes with the bump and grind. And I see the effort coming from him that is going to require, it's an attitude check. It's an attitude adjustment. You know, they're kind of bumping him around. He got to stop whining. His whine leads to silly plays and that. And both of them are maturing now. And I see more so than anything else. And I want Trent, do you see the spirit of the Flip Senior coming back from the Flip Junior? I think this is the greatest thing that has happened to the Wolves. Because when Flip Saunders drafted Andrew, he saw Kawhi Leonard. And you can average 20-10 on any given night. And now that he's coming into his own, with the bench that the Wolves got, this depth thing, yeah, we were weak, but we're winning and we're weak, which is a good thing. We're giving life to the bench, which Kidd would have never done in history. And I see a new team coming together. Okogie's going to be a monster when he, like you said, Trent, he got to learn how to stop reaching so much. You can't steal the ball every time, but his energy is awesome.
Yep.
And I will let you go and listen to you on the radio. I love you guys. Have a blessed one. I miss AB too.
Hey, appreciate the phone call from Preacher Man. We appreciate you listening. When it comes to Okogie, I like how he's developing, and we don't say that much when it comes to T-ball players. There's a lot. There's been so many guys that have come into this organization, been drafted, and they never developed at all. I shouldn't say he's developing. I love his energy, and I love what he brings to the team. Now, he's got to do a better job on the perimeter. He's got to learn how to shoot, because right now he can't shoot. He's worthless on the perimeter. But in terms of his effort, and in terms of his energy, and when he brings it nightly, because he brings that consistently, everybody feeds off of that.
Yeah, I mean, defense is something that you can do every single night. You know, defense can travel very well because, as you mentioned, it's an energy and an effort thing. You know, for a player like him, he just has to understand with the more playing time that he's going to get where his shots are going to come from. And that can help him to become more productive on the offensive end. You know, when you don't get consistent playing time and you get yourself on the floor, you know, you're trying to do things too fast because the patience is not there. Because you know that at any point in time, you could be back on the bench sitting next to the head coach. But the more he becomes familiar with his playing time and the play calling, it's going to allow him now to find that patience on the offensive end where he can begin to take some good shots.
Yep. Trent and Henry Lake here. It is In the Zone. I'm in replacing Dave Sinekin on this Saturday morning. Coming up next, we'll continue to take your phone calls. But also, I do want to discuss and talk about and at least get Trent's thoughts on what took place last weekend in the National Football League. Is Trent Tucker as much up in arms as every New Orleans Saints fan out there? We'll get his take next. All right, we got open phone lines right now, 651-989-5326, 1-800-320-5326. We've been talking Wolves. We're also mixing some National Football League conversation here this segment with Trent Tucker, Henry Lake in for Dave Sinek in here in the zone. And before we get back to the phone lines here in just a second, Double T, the big news of the week has been the reaction that everybody has had in regards to the NFC Championship game. Okay. The AFC Championship game was a classic. Mahomes versus Brady. Reed versus Belichick. The Chiefs versus the Patriots. That was a classic. And the GOAT, Tom Brady, got it done. Everybody looked at that game, loved the game, acknowledged the greatness. On the other side, you had the Saints lose at home in overtime to the LA Rams, but the number one thing that's being talked about and discussed is the non-call when it comes to the pass interference.
Yeah.
And it was a missed call. It should have been called. It was clearly a pass interference call. What was your take on that particular call and how things played out in the way that people are reacting to it right now?
Well, it hurt the Saints for sure. I mean, it was a pass interference. I mean, and the officials just missed a call. And at that point
it happens.
And at that point in time, somehow, some way, you have to regather yourself and get back to playing football. But for many people who watch that game, who are Saints fans right now, are saying to the rest of the world that call right there, you know, took their team away from having a chance to go to the championship game.
But, and that's the part that I hate.
But now they're going to fine the player, right?
They fine the player.
What good is that? Well, you missed the call.
No. But they fine for helmet to helmet.
It doesn't matter.
No, but you got it. No, but
that's a bad rule.
No, but I get what you're saying. But yeah. all I'm saying, because it doesn't look good anyway.
Well, I mean, because if what are you fining me for? What are you fining me for now? You're going to go back and look at the tape and then take some money away from me because you missed a call on the field? Now you feel bad because, you know, in a situation where the game was being decided, you didn't do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
and now you're going to come back and fine me? That's bad for the NFL. That's bogus.
I guess I would say this, though. The NFL is in the right here from this standpoint. Even if an official misses a call, a bad hit is a bad hit regardless. So let's say that they don't call a guy who roughs the passer and hits him in the legs, and then later on in the week they say, you know what, we missed this one, we're going to fine you. Because guys get fined every week. This is no different.
That's a bad deal. That's a bogus deal.
So you're saying that in the NFL,
If you missed the call, you missed the call.
Mm-hmm.
You missed the call. So why now are you going to put your officials in that situation? Why are you going to go out and embarrass them now? You're not going to. Are you going to suspend them? Are you going to fire them?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you said
no,
it's a bang bang play. It's human error. They missed a call.
Yeah, and I agree with you. They missed a call.
We move on.
This is the thing that I don't like. Is why are the Saints fans and people that are upset with the missed call? It's a missed call. Why are we acting as though that was the end of the game? It wasn't.
No.
It wasn't etched in stone that they were going to go in for a touchdown. And by the way, they got the ball first in overtime. How about we give Jared Goff some credit for working his way down the football field multiple times late in the game to get his team an opportunity to kick field goals? Give the Rams some damn credit. Stop acting as though the Saints got just totally screwed out here. In overtime, Drew Brees, the Hall of Famer, threw an interception.
Yeah, I mean, but they're saying that, you know, if you make that call, we're not in this situation.
But we don't know
that. We don't know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But what they're saying to you, by you not making that call, you didn't put me in a better situation to win the game. But it, what the NFL is doing now is going to go back and find the guy. To me, that's crazy. Because, you know, you have officials who are in the human element, and they missed a call on the field. And you missed. So why are you going to find me now? You know, because the people who are monitoring the game at that time, they said I did nothing wrong.
Yep. Let's go to the phone lines here. A couple of phone lines available, 651-989-5326, 1-800-320-5326. Let's go to Kilroy. What's up, Kilroy?
What's up, man?
How you doing, man?
What's going on? What's up, Trent?
What's happening?
Now, one thing, man. Hey, for being a Vikings fan, I still can't figure out how come the Saints are still whining and crying about what took place Sunday. It don't make sense because if they can recall in the 2009 championship game what they did to us. You know what I mean? So I guess karma came back, I guess. What you think?
It did.
It came back.
It came back.
I know. You know who's probably feeling so good about this? Ben Lieber. Ben Lieber's got to be feeling good. I know Trent's on the other side of the glass laughing. I know you're laughing too. Ben Lieber's got to be feeling good about this.
Well, I mean, you know,
because he's like, man, you know what? What? Come on, is this righting the wrong of us from 9 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, as a fan, it's hard to get over it. But when there's time still left in the game, you know, the players have to regroup and see if they can get the job done. Like you said, Drew Brees throws an interception in overtime. They still had a chance to win, you know, but when things don't go well for you, you have to point to something. And most Saint fans, along with the organization, you know, they're going to point to that one play that the officials missed.
I mean, you
go back to Kansas City and New England. You know, that
roughing the passer call on Chris Jones, that was ridiculous.
Right. I mean, because now if you're not
Booty rough.
But now if you're not going to make that call in the Rams and the Saints games, there was no reason to make that call on Tom Brady. I mean, because he, you know, maybe he may have touched
nobody
him.
Nobody got
helmet,
roughed.
But he
no, he didn't even touch him in the helmet. He touched him like on the shoulder pad.
And his hand came in front of his face mask and Tom Brady closed his eyes and they called roughing the passer. But here we go again. The official makes the call. You know, Kansas City did everything they could to win the football game. But defensively, how many third downs and long did they complete on that drive in overtime?
Oh, you're talking about against the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Every single one they needed to.
Well,
it was like three.
Where's the pressure? Get up and jam the receiver.
Chiefs fans ain't even mad at their officials, though. I mean, they might be upset about that one call because that was a bad call, but they're
mad at their defense.
Yeah, they're mad at their defense, yes.
I mean, you can't rush three or four guys against Tom Brady because you know that his offensive line is going to protect him. Bring some pressure. Get up and jam the receivers. Make him force him to pass the ball a little bit quicker than he wants. And all of a sudden now, you know, third and nine, third and ten, third and ten, you know, they pick up three crucial first downs on third and long. And that was the ball game right there. But if you're a Chiefs fan, you have to be really upset, you know, with the defensive coordinator.
Let's go to John in Minneapolis. What's up, John?
What's up, Blake? What's up, Mr. Tucker?
John, what's up, my
doing
man?
Doing pretty good, man.
Ain't nothing but an NFL thing today, fellas.
I ain't mad at you.
I heard y'all talking about the Chiefs and the Patriots, born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. It's Lake, no.
Uh-oh.
So I was sick to my stomach last week, throwing up at the porcelain top. But like it is outside, that was just too cold for me to – I couldn't even take it watching that game. Because, one, I was mad at the former defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. But my question to you, Lake, with you seeing what the Chiefs did with Mahomes, what about the play that hurt that almost ended Mahomes' life, let alone his career, with one of the Patriots hitting him in the leg?
Oh,
I didn't hear nobody say nothing about that. And you got him, somebody waving at Brady, and they call pass interference. What about roughing the passer on that dude's leg? But as far as the Patriots go, I don't even like the Patriots, but I'm going to put it like this. What do Steve Spagnuolo bring, bring to the Chiefs? But you fellas have a nice day, and is it cold enough for you?
Appreciate the phone call from John. He's asking about the new defensive coordinator. Because All right, so the story is, just to get you up to speed, Double T, I'm not sure if you saw this, but after that, because you talked about the Chiefs and their defense just not, you know, stopping Brady, you know, third down.
Spags, their defensive coordinator?
All right, well, he wasn't. He is now.
They
fired Bob Sutton. He was a defensive coordinator ever since Andy Reid got to Kansas City. He was let go on Tuesday, I believe, and Steve Spagnuolo is the new defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. People are kind of questioning whether Spags will be able to get it done because everybody's looking at the guys that they have defensively, if they're going to be able to fit in his scheme. I don't know that Spags is going to be the best defensive coordinator or best fit for them, but I think he's been a good one in his time in the National Football League. I know it didn't work out as a head coach, but he's been a good defensive coordinator.
Ask the New York Giants.
Yep.
How many close games did they lose with no pressure on the quarterback? Because he went into protective mode. You got to win the game, man.
He's had some good years in the National Football League, though, too. Right now, he's been on the struggle bus, but he's not a guy that's going to be out of a job.
Ask the New York Football Giants. That's all you got to do.
You say that with some bitterness.
That's all you got to do, okay?
Double T says that with some bitterness. Hey, let's go to Ryan in Plymouth. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing awesome, my man.
Great. Say, I guess I really wanted to get Trent's opinion on the Wolves, where I think that they've already, with Towns and Wiggins and the big contracts, they've kind of made their bed. They've decided those are our two cornerstone guys. But other teams, I'm not a big fan of the concept of big three. I think that has to be some very specialized guys who can work as a big three. Because we brought in Jimmy Buckets. Okay, we have our big three with the two young guys in Buckets, but Buckets dominated the ball, and then Towns and Wiggins were getting like 10 shots a game, and you can't get that killer instinct with only getting 10 shots a game. And once they get rid of them, rid of Buckets, then all of a sudden Towns and Wiggins has the opportunity to shoot 26 times a game, even though he didn't shoot well last night. But, I mean, all of a sudden without Buckets, those guys seem like, hey, they're back. It seems like they took a one-year of development backwards when Buckets was here. And so I was wondering, who should we get? We've got our big two, just like all those Bulls teams. They had Pippen and Jordan, and then they had a lot of great specialty guys who could shoot the three, catch and shoot. And that's why I just wanted to see who could the Wolves get if they're going to use the big two mentality and get the big, just guys who could do a specialty that those two guys don't do.
What do you think, Trent?
Well, I think going forward, you know, the big question will be, without Jimmy Butler, you know, can these two guys get this Wolves basketball team into a playoff type situation? Now, if they can help this team make the playoffs, then you begin to look for other pieces, you know, to the puzzle. Jimmy Butler coming over to the Wolves a year ago made them a better basketball team for sure. It was the right move for them to make. Now, how he decided that he wanted to leave was not good for any Wolves fans to see. They're going to have to maybe find another young, talented player, you know, that can come in and fit with them to maybe get them over the hump. If these two guys cannot make you a playoff team, then you're going to have to look somewhere else to see if you can find that extra player. But they do, going forward, need some guys who can catch and shoot that can spread the floor.
If you got the right two, you can do some things. Well, all it takes is the right two, and then you can have some other pieces on the roster that aren't that that don't have to be that, I guess, necessarily that the three-headed monster. If you have the right two.
Well, you look at the Chicago Bulls. You know, everybody talk about, you know, they has Michael Jordan, he's the best player in the history of the game. He has Scottie Pippen. You know, he was one of the all-time 50 greatest. You know, Horace Grant's game really grew. He was a wonderful defensive player and rebounder. He could knock down the open shot as well. The Chicago Bulls became a championship-type team. Everything mm-hmm. kind of came together when they made the trade to pick up Bill Cartwright. Bill Cartwright was a guy, that he wasn't going to go out and score 25 points a night, but he gave you the consistent low-post game that you needed, especially come playoff time. And then you surrounded those guys, you know, with guys who could shoot the ball from the outside.
But even in the 90s, you know this, there were teams in the Western Conference that were really, really good that had a dynamic two, and then they had other good pieces, but the pieces weren't the same as those top two. Like, a couple examples. The Supersonics, when they had GP and they had Sean Kemp. Or you look at Utah, you know this all too well. Karl Malone and Stockton.
Well, they had one problem. They couldn't beat Michael Jordan.
I know. I know.
I mean, but those two players were able to make them a strong contending playoff team.
Yes, sir.
Until your top two players can put you in a situation consistently to become a playoff team, then you begin to look to say, okay, where can we add more pieces now to the puzzle? If your top two players cannot make you a playoff team, then you're going to have to go out and find another all-star type player to help them guys get over the hump.
I always love and will forever love talking basketball with you because you're such a great basketball mind. Let me ask you this. When it comes to the Wolves in their situation right now, what type of piece do you think makes them not necessarily a playoff team, but a playoff team that could get out of the first round? Like, what type of piece with Wiggins and Towns?
They might need another all-star type player.
Oh, okay, so it has to be an all-star level player.
They have to, because until these two guys can show you that they can become a playoff team among themselves. You know, 14 straight years before Jimmy Butler came along. He made them a playoff-type team. Now, if they can get back to the playoffs with Wiggins and Towns being the main two guys, then you can look at your roster and say, okay, where do we need to fill these holes at? Who can we go out now and get to add to these two players? Because we have two guys by themselves right now that can make us a playoff team, but who can come in here and make us a better playoff team? But if they can't get you to that point, well, then you're going to have to go out and try to find another all-star type player.
And this another thing about the Wolves situation. There are other teams out there that are actually doing better than the Wolves, but they're in a similar spot just like the Wolves. And what I mean by that is the Wolves have two young guys, right? There are other teams that have two, possibly even three players that are good on the roster. And they're looking at going to the playoffs, but they're still stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And the perfect example of that is the Trailblazers. I love Damian Lillard's game. He's one of my favorite players in the league. Their center's pretty damn good. They have who's the other guard? CJ McCollum is really good. But they're stuck in the same spot as they were last year. Like, they need something else to get them over the hump.
They need to become a better defensive team. You know, they can score the basketball. You know, they have an inside guy who's pretty good, the two guards in the backcourt. They are good enough. Those two guys are good enough now to make you a playoff-type team. So they're looking at some point in time to see who can they add, you know, to make them a stronger playoff-type team. You know, but you look at Golden State, everybody talks about, you know, all these guys joining themselves together in the big three. But see, Golden State, they didn't go out and sign anybody else other than Kevin Durant. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry, they all drafted him.
Yeah, they all drafted him. Yep.
But under the leadership of Mark Jackson during that time, he was able to elevate those guys into all-star type players. Steve Kerr has come in and done a wonderful job of moving this team forward. They bring in Kevin Durant. It makes them, you know, perhaps the strongest team in basketball for sure. You get DeMarcus Cousins now. He might be on a one-year deal, and he's going to be on his best behavior. We all know that because he wants to get a big-time contract going into next season. But you just can't go out and buy talent and make it work.
I'm with you.
You have to bring guys in from day one and have the right coaching staff and the right personnel people in place to help these guys to develop so you can get the best out of them.
Take a quick break. We got phone calls from Craig. Phone call from Jason. Phone lines available 651-989-5326, 1-800-320-5326. Also want to touch on Minnesota Golden Gopher basketball with Double T Trent Tucker. We do that next.
You're in the zone on the Fan.
Oh, if people could hear some of the conversations that me and Double T have that are just priceless, oh, man.
We need...
it's good stuff.
We need podcasts.
The Keep It Real podcast. Oh, my goodness. All right, welcome back. In the Zone. Henry Lake in for Dave Senekin, but just always...
That. You got it?
Yes.
You got it right. Keep It Real.
Keep It Real podcast.
Yeah, it's a good title.
Some people are not going to like me, though.
Well, that's okay. But you're keeping it real, right?
I'm keeping it real.
Right. Real conversation, man, for real people.
For real, yeah. Because right. You know what? We live in the real times with a lot of real things going on.
That's true.
And that's real talk.
Yeah, it's real talk.
You know, and I'm there's a lot of things, I just put it like this. There's a lot of things I can tolerate and have tolerated my entire life. There's a lot of things I'm not willing to tolerate right now.
And also, you know, real talk is all about, you know, how do we communicate with each other?
Absolutely.
You know, so that, you know, you have an understanding of where I'm coming from.
Yep.
And I have an understanding of where you're coming from, so that somehow, some way, we can meet in the middle to see if, you know, if we can make this thing work.
Yep.
You know, when we all are going in different directions, and it's hard for us to find that connection.
Yep.
And I think in this day and time, you know, we need to sit down and talk to each other just a little bit more.
And I'm all about compromise. I'm all about trying to meet in the middle. I'm all about helping, because it's all about us sharing the world together.
Yeah, because at the end of the day,
that's what it's all about.
You know, we should be all on the same team.
But when you're an idiot and you're a moron and you showing it, I ain't for that.
Well, at some point in time, you know, how do you sit down and try to communicate with that person?
Yep.
You know, to see exactly where they're coming from, man. And see if that, you know, if you can make a difference in the thought process.
Yep.
And going forward. And
some more, people you just can't.
And some people you just can't
reach.
But the more you sit down and talk to a person, you can learn about some of the things and why they think the way they think.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, let's go to Craig, who's calling. Is he calling from Boston? You calling from Boston, Craig?
Yeah, I just live on the south side of Boston.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hey, thanks for giving us a call, man. How you doing?
Yeah, I you guys keep me in touch on iHeart, so I appreciate it.
Oh, we appreciate the love, my man. What you got?
Well, I got I get to watch the Pats around here, but I got a few couple comments about just some observations about the Patriots and
yep,
especially this season. One of them is just that, you know, a lot of people, you know, thought that they were on their way down. You know, because the records, you know, they got 5 losses this year, which is kind of high for them. But I, you know, some of the teams that they lost to, I think were kind of interesting, because everybody said, oh, they lost to the Lions and they lost to, you know, the Titans. But, you know, the key to some of these, you know, they lost the Dolphins, but that's not really unusual. But the thing about those teams is they got the Patriot connections there now. The Lions and the Titans, they got ex-Patriots and either it, you know, on their coaching staff, you know, head coaches. And these guys know the Patriots. So that's one of the key things that I think, you know, I haven't heard, you know, anybody really comment on that. And I don't know what you guys think about that. And then just also, you know, the Patriots' slow starts. You know, we've heard about the Patriots, how they can get their, you know, offense to, and their defense to go after other people's weaknesses. I think it takes them longer to get their team up to speed because they work on, because they have to be strong at all the different aspects so that they can deal with, you know, whatever a team has to throw at them, so they can cut off their other team's strengths. And I have a Gophers comment if you guys have time for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead real quick.
Just that I'm actually kind of happy with the, even though they've messed up, you know, with the Illinois game so many times the Big Ten season comes and they usually start off so poorly. You know, 4-4, I consider that really good for the Gophers lately, because in past years they, you know, they can start off the season 10-0, but they always lose the first 2 or 3 games of the season, and they're having to fight some 0-2 or 0-3 starts. Anyway, that's all I got to say.
All right, thanks for the phone call from Craig. A couple things, because we are going to talk Gophers here for a little bit here after we get done with this a phone call from Jason, as well as the take on the Patriots. I just view the Patriots as an organization that they still have one of the great quarterbacks right now, still in the National Football League, in Tom Brady. They they have one of the greatest coaches time of Bill Belichick, and they are an organization in a team that when it comes to scheming and game planning and preparing, they're as good as it gets in the National Football League. So that's why they will never be truly out of a matchup. Now, will they lose games from time to time? Yeah. They lost five games this year. But it's not as though the Patriots are dead as an organization. Because I think some people want to go ahead and say that they're done. They're not done.
But they're never down unless they have Tom Brady.
Yep.
You're never down when you have the best quarterback in the game, the best quarterback in the history of the game. You know, but, you know, throughout the season, when you're an older football team, it's like an older basketball team, you know, you have those bumps in the road, you know, during the regular season where the body just doesn't respond well for you. You know, but when it comes down to playoff and you have that time to rest and prepare, you know, no one does it better than Bill Belichick. And Tom Brady is the ultimate performer when the game is on the line.
To talk about the Gophers. Well, you know what? Before we get to the Gophers, let's take this quick phone call from Jason. He's been holding for a minute. He's been holding for 15 minutes. Let's go. What's up, Jason?
Hey, fellas. Good Saturday morning, G. You know, I've been thinking about this since my beloved Bears hit us with a double doink a few weeks back. But, you know, as a guy growing up, born in the early 80s, we've kind of seen the NFL make some, like, really drastic changes. I mean, when I was growing up, it was running backs. So a lot of running backs going early in the draft. And then the game kind of evolved. And then if you guys remember, it seemed like in the early 90s to the mid-90s, we saw just the wide receiver game kind of open up. And then we saw the QBs open up. And we see as the game has changed how the draft has kind of changed. Now, I'm not saying kickers are going to start going in the first round, but I remember back in the day, everybody thought Al Davis was crazy for taking Sebastian Janikowski so early. With all the kicking troubles that we're having with some of these elite teams, even the Vikings, the Bears, are we going to see a change in how NFL teams look at the kickers? Back when we were growing up, it was like they were free agents getting drafted. But now I kind of think that we're going to see some kickers possibly hit that third round in the next couple years if things continue. Love to hear your guys' opinion on it.
All right, thanks for the phone call. What you think?
Well, you're looking for every element that you can find to help you win games. And right now we have seen – you know, many kickers cost their teams, you know, some close wins coming down the stretch because they're not able to execute when the game is on the line. So if you have a son right now and if you want him to play football, take him out in the backyard and prepare him to become a field goal kicker. He just may have a future.
Yeah, I guess real quickly, no, the NFL is not going to value kickers higher when it comes to drafting them. That's just not going to happen because you can find talented guys late in drafts. One of the best kickers in the entire league is Harrison Butker. He's a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was a 7th-round pick, and he was one of the better kickers in college out of Georgia Tech. He was drafted in the 7th round.
Yeah, he missed some crucial kicks this year too, right?
not
many, but he missed some.
No, he missed a couple kicks, yeah. But he's still one of the best kickers in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't miss many. They only lost with the Chiefs. How many games they lose this year?
Well, they were so far ahead of everybody.
There you go. And this was the guy that was on the practice squad for the Carolina Panthers, and the Chiefs snatched him up from the practice squad.
Well, I mean, you know, you're not going to go first, second, maybe a third round, but, I mean, they are going to take a close look. I mean, but look at how many.
There ain't many Sebastian Janikowskis out there.
Look how many kickers, you know, have cost their teams this year.
Yes.
I mean, the Vikings cut a guy after he missed three attempts against the Green Bay Packers. You win that football game. You know, knowing that the Packers had control of that football game, now
you're in the playoffs.
You don't have to worry about the Bears. But to me, you know, the Vikings season was derailed when they lost to the Buffalo Bills. That game right there cost the Vikings a chance of making the playoffs.
That's a strong point. Hey, the Gophers. Let's talk Golden Gopher basketball here. The caller, a couple calls ago from New England, he stated that he was impressed and he liked what he had seen from the Gophers to start the Big Ten season. Do you agree with that? Because I'm the total opposite. I don't like what I've seen to start the season for the Golden Gophers. But I will admit that going into this year, I didn't view us as necessarily. I viewed us as a borderline tournament team. I don't view us as a tournament team right now. Maybe they can pull off a couple of upsets and eventually get there. But it's hard for me to look and be happy with. Because, look, You're happy about the Wisconsin victory. You're happy that they put in a good effort, even in a loss against Michigan. But how can you be happy about a one-point victory over Penn State, who hasn't won a game in the conference, at home? How can you be happy that you lost by 27 on the road to Illinois, who's terrible? How can you be happy that you lost by 15 at home against Maryland? How can you be happy that you lost by 20 to Ohio State? And then I'll throw in, and we're happy that we won by 7 at Nebraska, over Nebraska at the Barn. I was at that game. What do you make of the Gophers right now?
Well, they are probably...
Are they impressing you?
They're probably a 500 team right now in the Big Ten. You know, and to me, the...
They are. They're literally. They're 4-4.
You know, the Wisconsin game sure was a big win for them, but you know, but to me, so far through the 8 games they played in the Big Ten season, coming back and beating Nebraska, you know, that allowed them to be a 500 team. They lose that game against Nebraska on their home floor, you know, they might be 1-7. They might be 1-7.
I don't.
Winning that game against Nebraska,
that was big.
Helped them
because they evened them up at 1-1 in the Big Ten. Yeah. And it kind of it gave him a little bit of confidence.
No doubt about it.
Yes.
Because Nebraska was in control of that game, you know, for about 35, 36, 37 minutes. And somehow, some way, the Gophers played just enough
defense. It was a mere coffee show.
Mere coffee got out into the open court. And he was able to get to the basket and make some plays to close the game out. But if you lose that basketball game, you know, the first 2 games of the Big Ten season, all of a sudden now your confidence it drops. Then you go out to finish off the rest of the non-conference season, and when you get started once again with Big Ten play, you know things may not go well for you. But that Nebraska game, you know, allowed this team now to be where they are.
This is the thing that I don't like about the Gophers right now. The Gophers are a team in which they're disjointed, and we know that the strength of their team is in the post. In terms of just from a talent perspective, they got more talent in the paint than they do on the perimeter. Daniel Turu, Jordan Murphy. Jordan Murphy is basically like the MVP, if you want to say, of the team. In terms of just if you look at how he's played, he's been consistent pretty much the course of the season. They're disjointed from this fact that when you look at the games that they play and you look at the big time wins, in those big-time wins, and I'll say the two have been the Nebraska game, which you were just talking about, and the Wisconsin game, right? Those two games, who was the star? Amir Coffey in both. He carried them on his back, essentially, in both games. Everybody believes and looks and says, Jordan Murphy has to do this, this, and this. He has to. We know he's got to, you know, defend well, if you know, as well as he can. Because he's a little bit undersized at the position. He's got to get some points in the paint, and he's got to rebound. The problem is that when he tries to carry the load and do all those things, and he's been doing a phenomenal job. I'm not knocking Jordan Murphy. But they don't typically always win with that. When Amir Coffey takes over and goes for 32 against Nebraska, or goes for what was 22 or 21 against Wisconsin and was coming up clutch, they win games. My point is, I don't think that the Gophers overall, from top to bottom on the roster, that they're talented enough to win games like that in the Big Ten. They need other guys to help out. They need other guys to help Jordan. They need other guys to help Amir, because either one of those guys aren't just good enough on their own to carry them to an NCAA tournament. They need other pieces to come together.
That's for sure. I mean, you know, to me, you know, they are at their best when they can force turnovers and get into transition. Because now that it puts Amir Coffey in a situation where he can use his speed and quickness in open space to get to the basket and make some plays. The major concern for this team right now is the outside shooting. You know, they don't shoot the ball well from the outside, and most teams now are starting to recognize that. If we can get back and stop them from running and force them to become a half-court team, it gives us a much better chance, you know, to beat this basketball team. I don't know if this is going to improve before the season is over, you know, but, you know, somehow, some way, if they can find just a better touch from the outside, then things begin to open up, and this team could make an NCAA run.
Yep. And I got another NCAA take I want to get to coming up next, but also, Mickey, just hold on for 1 second. We'll take your phone call next out of the break. Henry Lake, Trent Tucker, in the zone, in for Dave Senegan. You're on the Fan.
You're in the zone on the Fan. Tom.
All right, back with you here in the zone. Henry Lake, Trent Tucker, and Trent producing here on The Fan. We'll get back to phone calls here in just 1 second. We were just talking about the Gophers and what we've seen from them to start the year in the Big Ten Conference. If you are a wagering man or gambler man, I don't know what you are, but if you had to place a bet right now, would you say the Gophers will make the tournament or not? I say that they, at this point in time, I say that they will not.
I believe they will.
Okay.
I believe they will.
And I hope that they will.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, defensively, you know, they can hang their hat on their defense. You know, and I think Eric Curry is going to get better as the season goes along. You know, he's going to find his conditioning.
Yeah, he's knocking off the rust right now.
Right, and I think he can help them coming down the stretch, But the game tomorrow against Iowa is a must-win game as well. You know, they're going to have a lot of must-win games before this thing is all said and done. I think the season might become a little bit tougher now as they move forward. But defensively, that's where they're going to have to hang their hat if they want to make the NCAA tournament.
All right, let's go to Mickey. What's up, Mickey?
Hey, guys. I wanted to introduce a Timberwolf name to you, Derrick Rose.
Okay.
There's been no talk about him. You're talking about the Big Two and all that. As Jim Peterson said on a broadcast, let's face it, Derrick Rose is our second best player. But no one talks about him. No one talks about long-range plans for Derrick Rose.
Wait. No one's talked about Derrick Rose? Everybody's talked about Derrick Rose. He's like one of the –
No. I'm in the context of long-term plans for Derrick Rose.
Oh, I got you.
And so And he's single-handedly carried us through some games, so he's been a difference maker. The other point is the Timberwolves' record since Jimmy Butler has gone is 4 games over .500. I think our record's going to be better than it was last year with Jimmy Butler. So this talk about missing him, I think, is missing the point. We're not missing him. We got some good pieces back, and Derrick Rose is different than he was last year.
So do you think this team is going to make the postseason?
I think they will. But teams' records are going to be better than they were last year, too.
Yeah, I don't think that this – and I'm not – I'm with you, Mickey. Who cares about Jimmy Butler at this point? I'm not sad that he's gone. And I agree with you on Derrick Rose that he's playing the best basketball that he's played in some time. But I guess this is the issue I would have. Because Derrick Rose, at the end of this season, is going to be a free agent.
For sure.
So, are we saying re-sign Derrick Rose? Because if we're saying that, which I'm not saying that, because he's gonna want some money, like he's not going on another cheap contract like he's playing this year. Like you have to pay Derrick Rose, and I'm not signing up to pay a 31-year-old Derrick Rose a 31-year-old Derrick Rose more money than I'm willing or should be willing to have to pay for.
Well, I guess I don't get that logic because we're gonna be a worse team without him, and he's gonna be hard to replace.
My point is, what number are you willing to give Derrick Rose in terms of money?
Well, we were willing to pay Butler a lot of money.
Oh, he's not getting Jimmy Butler
a lot of money. We were willing to pay him a lot of money. We won't have to pay that kind of number to Derrick Rose.
Yeah, but we inherited. First, you have to re-sign. You have to work something out with Derrick Rose. You didn't have to work anything out with Derrick. No, you didn't have to work anything out with Jimmy Butler. You traded for Jimmy Butler. You inherited his contract because you traded for it. What I'm saying is, you have to negotiate with Derrick Rose.
You're missing it because I'm talking about negotiating with Jimmy Butler last summer when he wanted a max contract.
Yes,
and they gave him a max contract offer, and it was a lot of money. Though he didn't take it, obviously.
Yes. And you're saying that right now, at this point in his career, Derrick Rose is in the same we should be talking about the same amount of money for Derrick Rose than we were talking last summer with Jimmy Butler?
No, we don't have to talk that number. That's not going to be the number anyone's talking about.
So my question still presented to you is, what is the number that you feel comfortable as a fan paying him? That's my question.
Well, who knows? But maybe it's $10 million, but look at Gorgie. Look at the money he's getting, and he doesn't deserve that money, and dump him.
Okay. All right. Oh, thanks for the phone call. I'm with Mickey in that Derrick Rose has presented to you a great season, and he's been real good. Ain't no way. So we're clear on this, okay? Because I agree with Mickey on that. Let me just be clear. At 9:25 on this Saturday morning, ain't no way in hell I'm paying Derrick Rose $10 million to stay on this team. No way.
Well, it could be the going price for him.
He's gone then.
Well, I mean, in today's market, $10 million is not a lot of money.
Man,
in today's market.
This is the prop. Let me ask you this.
Would you give Derrick Rose $20 million for 2 years?
No.
We gave him Derrick Rose 1 year for $10
million. No.
Well, then he's gone.
Derrick Rose.
Right, because he's not going to take five.
He's not going to take five. And he took less than five.
I think based on what he's done right now, he's worth more than five.
Absolutely, he's worth more than five. This is the point. Derrick Rose ain't taking this organization anywhere. So why am I paying him $10 million?
Well,
no, he's a good player, and I like how he's. But he's not the key to winning a championship.
Well, I mean, right now you just gave one guy 190, one guy 148, and they better make the playoffs. So you're looking for another piece.
Another piece.
So
I'm going with another younger piece.
Okay, so who's that younger piece out there?
We don't know that yet. Yeah. I have to scour. I'm just saying. I'm a fan of his story. I'm a fan of what has transpired with Derrick Rose. I'm not a Wolves fan. I'm the number one Wolves fan out here. But I'm gonna keep it real. I am not on board with paying Derrick Rose $10 million. I'm just not.
Well, in today's market, $10 million is not a lot of money. That's really in today's market.
I know the market has changed. I know the market has changed.
Now, for a lot of people, $10 million is a whole lot of money. But in today's market of professional sports at the NFL, I mean, at the NBA level, $10 million for a guy like Derrick Rose is not a lot of money anymore.
All right. Let's go to Warren in St. Paul. What's up, Warren?
Well, I'll let him talk to you on the NFL, but if you had to compare his season with Gibson's season, and Gibson's getting, what is he getting, $11 million? It's bargain for a guy like that can do what he's done this year if his health is good, because he's a better player than Gibson and Jang. He's better than both of them, and they're both getting over $10 million, I believe.
Time out. Let's not be disingenuous with these conversations about salaries. But come on, let's be real here. Jing was somebody that you went ahead, you drafted him, you saw some potential there, and you said, you know what, we have to invest in this guy. That's period, point blank. Taj Gibson was a guy that, it was a Tibbs guy that was a free agent, and you knew you were going to spend money, and you brought him in. So let's stop
acting. He's not the player that.
That's not the point, Warren. That's not the point. That is not the point. The point is sometimes you swing and miss when it comes to free agents, but don't sit here and try to make it seem it's the exact conversation that when Derrick Rose has a really good season this year, that all of a sudden, that now you're trying to pit Gibson versus Derrick Rose. Don't do that, man. That's foolish.
Well, because you're wrong with what you're saying.
I'm not wrong with what I'm saying.
Okay, who's a naturally better player and who's done more in their career? Who's been the better player in their career?
That's not the point. That's not the point, Warren. Think about it like this. 2 years ago, when Derrick Rose's body was beat up, you weren't talking bad about Taj Gibson's contract, were you? You know why? Because Derrick Rose wasn't playing to being a $10 million player. Now, all of a sudden, you want to bitch about somebody else's contract?
I'm not bitching about it. You are.
No, you are. You're the one standing up. You're the one sticking up for Derrick Rose. Let me ask you this. Was Derrick Rose worth $10 million last year?
He didn't get the chance. He didn't get the chance.
Why didn't he get the chance?
Because the teams that he was with didn't give him the chance to play like this year. Okay. Let's just say that Lowell, who has been riding the bench all year, and he's not as old as, and he's not as totally dumb as people think, because he's only like 32 or 33 years old. He's been a chance to play, and he's been scoring points better than some of the younger players.
The reality of this conversation is Derrick Rose's body was beat up and he wasn't totally healthy for the last like 4 years, and he went to a couple of different teams and they booted him out, and then he came to Minnesota and he's resurrected his career. It doesn't mean that everybody else's contract on the roster that's playing for the T-Wolves, that they're trash because Derrick Rose is overplaying his contract. That's the point.
Here's what you're going to say. If you have a conversation
with your buddy that's sitting right next to you.
His name is Trent Tucker. Exactly, his name is Trent Tucker.
Exactly what I'm saying. He'll agree with that. But this isn't what I called in for. I was shocked earlier in the week when you were talking about the NFL, the officials in the NFL. Now, nobody, see, the problem with this market is people don't get a chance to talk on the radio much anymore because all the talk show hosts and that, they talk all the time.
What are you talking about, Warren? You called me. You called me. You called me all the time. Hold on. Time out. You call me all the time, and I give you at least 2 or 3 minutes.
I'm talking about you. I'm talking about the other people. Here's the thing that nobody talked about. I listened to Francesca on New York radio.
The old man that forgets things, yes.
Yeah, and this is what he said. You're in the NFL, and you as an organization have a game that shouldn't exist with the teams that are in there right now, and you don't have enough guts. A guy that's heading that organization's making five. What is he making? $50 million.
So what we're supposed to start the game over?
That's not what he said. I said, okay, I'm going to ask you a question.
And make it quick.
Terrell Owens brought this up.
Make it quick. Make it quick,
right.
Warren.
Okay, you got a rule in your books. When somebody gets wronged and you can't fix that, you don't have enough ball. You know, here's what happens.
Are you kidding me? You're on the fan, and you're crying about the Saints getting a missed call, and you're talking about. I'm asking you. That's what you're implying.
Here's what Francesca said, which is 100% right.
You got 30 seconds.
You added gambling. Basically, the NFL added gambling in their organization this year. Okay, you got the NASCAR. They have rainouts when they have to stop the race. They bring everything back the next day. They finish the race. That's a hell of a lot harder than the NFL has to do if they had to save somebody. But you're having gambling in the NFL now. You have a guy that's getting $50 million. It's not doing anything, and you have a total game that's skewed by refs screwing up, and you're telling me that there's no doubt that that could be considered being cheating by the NFL to have that go on when you got gambling going on.
For the phone call from Warren. The illogical take is absurd. It's ridiculous. We'll take more of your phone calls on In the Zone. The final segment, full phone lines if you want. We got three open phone lines. Trent. Hey, can you hand my jacket? I might need to take some high blood pressure medication or whatever. We'll take your phone calls next year. In the Zone, Henry Lake, Trent Tucker, next.
For more information on KFAN radio contests, go to KFAN.com/rules.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, you got a little rowdy, huh? You went back to the...
Hey, look.
Where's he going? Wait.
When you got full phone lines and you got Pat Micheletti that comes into the studio and he's happy and excited because I'm fired up when it comes to Warren and his phone call, then you know you've done all right this Saturday morning.
You went back to, I won't say what you went back to, but you went back to that.
Always a pleasure seeing my guy, Pat Micheletti. This is the first time we've seen each other since I got back to town. Him and Kevin Fallon is coming up next.
They're doing a big story on the 79 hockey team.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Gopher team, huh?
Yep.
That's why I heard Brooks.
Yep. So.
That was during my time.
Oh, man. Warren got me fired up.
Are you okay? Are you okay? You need to drink water? You need to calm down?
I'm good. We got full phone lines. We'll get the phone calls here in just 1 second. Just to wrap up the what I was trying to let Warren in on is I, for one, as much as I like Derrick Rose and the story and how he's played and all that stuff, whatever, I'm not signing up to a long-term contract where he's going to get paid a bunch of money.
What? Long-term means no. Now, you're not going to say 5-6 years. No.
No, no. Long-term to me with Derrick Rose and his age is 3 years or more. I'm not even doing a 3 year. I'm not because he's priced himself out of Minnesota. That's I've been saying this for at least a month and a half. That Derrick Rose, the way that he's playing right now, he's priced himself out of Minnesota. But my point to Warren though is because he's getting all caught up in this in the salary stuff. That's such a disingenuous commentary to make because when it comes to timing of contracts and when people get paid and all that. You have to factor that in, Warren. You just can't make a blanket statement and say, well, he's playing better than, like for instance, you know who he's playing better than? Tyus Jones. So what? He's playing better than Tyus Jones right now. Tyus Jones is underpaid. Tyus is only making $2.5 million.
He's still on his rookie contract.
Exactly, but that's my point. So the whole throwing the salaries in there stuff, it's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. Jared Bayless hasn't done much for you. He's making 8.5.
Right, because his contract.
Yes.
But I'm saying right now, based on the production of
Derrick Rose. No, you're talking about something different than Warren. I'm right. just saying. I'm just
based on the production
Warren.
Of Derrick Rose right now, Derrick Rose is a $10 million plus player.
And he's priced himself out of Minnesota.
Well, you know, if I'm looking at the free agents who are going to be out there, everybody's talking about the big name guys. Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker, Kawhi Leonard. Now, are we in the conversation as an organization?
No.
To attract some of those big-time free agents out there. Okay, so then where do we go? Because we got to spend the money. We have to spend the money.
It comes down to this. This is where I will be on the same page with you about Derrick Rose.
Okay.
Because me and you both agree. He is not in the long-term plans of the Wolves, right?
I can say that. Okay. That. Yeah.
So if you want to say, let's overpay for one and give him $10 million, all right, I'll cave, okay? I'll give him one.
But like I'm saying, $10 million today in the NBA market is not a lot of money.
So you just talked me into it. I'll cave for that. But my point is this, though. Warren knows this. I know this. And you, Derrick Rose knows this is his last opportunity to get the bag, to secure the bag. He's already got the bag because he's got so much money. He's going to try to get one more nice contract. And to me, I as a Timberwolves fan and a season ticket guy, I am not for opening up and giving him more money than he should get.
Yeah,
what I'm saying.
I'm not saying that you're going to go out and sign into a 5-year, $150 million deal.
Him and his representation, they're going to try to get the most money they can.
Well, every person is going to do that. But I'm saying that based on what Derrick Rose has done right now and how the market and how the salaries go in the NBA – Derrick Rose is a $10 million basketball player.
And I'm not disputing that.
That was my point. Now, I would.
And sometimes when certain guys...
I would offer Derrick Rose $20 million for 2 years.
And sometimes when guys get to a certain point and they play above a certain threshold, then you got to move on. Well, that's just the way that it is.
Well,
like in a lot of markets, like Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, sometimes you just got to move on from guys like that if you're not willing to pay that money.
Well, I mean, you going to pay Bryce Harper $300 million?
No.
And you can't win?
No,
it's a different ball game.
You got to let him walk then.
Right. So
we ain't winning with Derrick Rose.
But you're going to pay somebody.
Yes, I agree with that.
So Derrick Rose, based on what his production has been, he has been perhaps one of your most consistent players all year long.
Yes.
Would we say that?
And one of the, yes.
And $10 million today, I'm going to go back to $10 million in today's market.
And I agree
100%. Not a lot of money. Now, if you're asking $25, $30 million, okay, now you price yourself out of the conversation.
I can't do that. And he's going to be looking for a mega year contract.
But I think Derrick Rose and his representation will be realistic. They understand where he is. They understand where he's coming from.
Okay.
But, you know, Derrick Rose is making a million plus this year and something.
He's making 2. Here, let me look it up. Derrick Rose this year is making 2.1.
Okay, Derrick Rose is a $10 million player for sure.
No, without a doubt about. There's no doubt in my mind. I would not dispute that at all.
Right.
All right, let's go rapid fire. Let's start with Pete in Minneapolis. What's up, Pete?
Hey, you need to chill out, dude. I didn't know if it was after what, but man, you're coming to break.
I gotta get some chill pills.
Yeah, he's making me cool off.
Yeah, I am. I agree with you about Rose. I mean, he's had a good year, but let's face it, the guy is very injury prone, and he's old by NBA standards, I would say. So, and then about this ridiculous. I mean, this whole week has been full of absurdity with this New Orleans situation. Replay the game? Are you serious? I mean, are these guys for real? Is that the biggest joke I've ever heard? They got some lawsuit out now over a call. So now the games don't go the way we like them. We're just going to sue and we're going to replay. Can you see the outcome of that once they set that precedent? I mean, I'm sure the judges are just laughing right now. Like, don't even bother to bring that in my courtroom because you're going to get laughed right out of here. That is so absurd. Not to mention, it's very convenient. I've been watching sports for 50 years. It's very convenient to blame the officials when you lose. You know, never mind the fact that tight end there's dropped the pass in the first quarter. Never mind that they gave up the first down on the fake punt. Never mind that Drew Brees missed a wide-open Michael Thomas in the end zone. Never mind that Sean Payton, under 2 minutes with the Rams down to two timeouts, decided to throw an incomplete on first down.
Or missed the helmet penalty that they didn't call when Jared Goff got slapped in the face. Yep, the face mask.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Any ball game out there, you can go through the history of ball games. None of them turn on one thing. It's a culmination of things.
Yep.
You know, and just like the Vikings, you know, I'm a huge Vikings fan. When they went down to New Orleans and they beat the crap out of Favre and nobody called it, but guess what? The referees didn't fumble the ball five times and lose all five. The referees didn't have 12 men in the huddle after a timeout that was a penalty. The referees weren't running out of bounds like Favre was and decided to throw the ball across his body into the New Orleans hands of receivers or interceptors' hands. You know, you gotta look yourself in the mirror, guys, New Orleans fans. You gotta look yourself in the mirror and your team in the mirror and say, you know what? We screwed up too.
Yep.
And so right on, brother, but just chill out.
I appreciate the phone call from Pete in Minneapolis. I'm sorry, Pete, man. I mean, you get excited at times. All right, let's go to Jamar. What's up, Jamar?
Like, you know what, I'm going to say this here. Let me check this out. Number one, I'm glad I'm a Spurs fan, Trent, so I don't got to worry about this here team. So, you know, who's bad and you ain't going to pay a guy. Because let me just say this, Lee. With that attitude, bro, is the reason why the team will continue to be mediocre. You've got to pay for talent, like Trent is saying. This cat has
I believe in that.
Well, he has no doubt showed that he is worth $10 to $20 million. What he did for this team this season, I don't want to talk about his body of work prior. I'm talking about the body of work that he did this year proves that he is absolutely worthy of a nice contract, at least $21 million. I think Trent is right. But again, I'm a Spurs fan. I don't care. All we do is win.
How about the Spurs, right?
Lake, let me tell you something. Lake, I have forgot. You owe me.
I know. I almost ate dinner. I haven't forgot.
Okay, I can't tell. I'm hungry. I can't tell.
All right. Hey, you know what? Hey, I'm going to put Jamar on hold because I need to get Jamar's information. So Trent, I know Trent's screen. I'm going to put you. Yeah, he got it. I'm going to put Jamar on hold so we can. Oh, you already did. All right. I need his number. All right. Let's get to we're going rapid fire, man. Let's go to Kevin and Chaska. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. Kind of to reiterate a point that you guys just talked about. So if you're going to restart this game, let's just for instance say that this is actually going to happen, which there's no way it's going to happen, but the Goff face mask would have put the Rams at first and goal on the 3-yard line, I think it was. So where do the Rams come out and say, well, hey, if we're going to restart the game, we're going to restart the game at that point? Or, you know, I can name a multitude of spots where there was calls that were missed that would have projected a point change in the game anyway. So to me, it's just Saints fans.
This is sports. Yep, this is sports. And thanks to the phone call from Kevin and Chaska. This is sports.
The only problem I have with the NFL is that you're going to find the guy now. That's my biggest problem. Game's over.
But they do that every week.
But it's bad. It sends the wrong message to the people who are officiating the game. It's over. They missed the call. Leave it alone, because the more you keep bringing things up, the more it stays in the conversation. It's over. You're not, like I said, you're not going to replay the game. You're not going to go back to that moment. So why now are you going to find a guy for a missed call on the field?
All right, let's go to Mike. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing awesome, man. Thanks for the phone call.
Okay, the reason I'm calling is I can't believe us Minnesota fans haven't got a big card coin and thanking that Ram player for doing that. Seriously, you think about karma. This is karma that's happening. What they did to Favre, last year we got them knocked out of going to the Super Bowl. Now this year they got knocked out. It's always going to happen. So the Saints fans might as well get it over with because they're never going to go again. this is all karma in my books. And also, Derrick Rose is not worth $21 million. We'd sign him to something like that. We should be shot in the head. Trent, why don't you come on out? At least your body's in shape.
No, we're talking about not $21 million a year. We said over a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Over a couple of years.
He said, we want you on the court.
I can't get you what Derrick Rose
said,
is giving
you. He said, why don't you come on out, Trent?
Hey, I can't get you what Derrick Rose is giving you. I wish I could, but hey, I can't do that.
Let's go to Kyle in Coon Rapids. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I've got the unique privilege of being a Saints fan living in Minneapolis, which was a beautiful thing last year. But I got to be honest with you guys. You know, all of the stuff about replaying the game and starting it over from that point, like, yeah, that'd be great, but that's the most unrealistic thing I've ever heard of. Honestly, as a Saints fan, the thing that I'm more pissed off about is Roger Goodell, and I don't know where he is in all of this stuff. Like, you come out of your hole, give us, you know, an apology, just admit as a man, hey, we screwed up. That's all I'm asking for.
Man, hey, you know what? Thanks to the phone call from Kyle, that's what fans want, some acknowledgement. Well, he should.
Well, the acknowledgement is there. The officials missed the call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so game is over. I don't think Roger Goodell has to say anything else. Why? Hey, you hired these guys to go out and do their job. They missed the call. It was a critical miss. We all know that. So, and now for what does Roger Goodell have to say that's going to make these fans in New Orleans feel any better?
Nothing.
And then the NFL going to come back and fine the guy?
All right, we got time for one more phone call, and it's going to be from Lee. What's up, Lee? Lee. Lee's gone, so we're going to go to Adam in Grand Forks. What's up, Adam?
Hey, can I switch gears a little bit? I wanted to know if you think Okoge is a real third piece for this team or if he's just a role player going forward.
Hey, thanks to the phone. I mean, he made it short and sweet. Thanks to the phone call from Adam in Grand Forks.
I see him as a role player.
I see him as a role player too. Yeah, I don't think he's a guy that's going to be part of anybody's big three. But his effort and energy and his athleticism and what he can give you off the bench, I love it.
Yeah, he's great to have on your team. You know, he brings some intangibles to the game that you need. But
great question.
I don't see him being an all-star type player.
Yeah, no, that's a great question though. I do like that question because Okoge, man, I've been clamoring for him to get more minutes. And he's gotten some more run because of Robert Covington being injured, and then you've had Teague be injured. He's a nice player.
He just has to grow and understand, you know, what kind of player he can be within the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take the shots that are there. You know, play to his strengths. He's a very good defensive player. He can be a good offensive rebounder as well. He's a guy that can get out in transition and finish. You know, but now when that open jump shot is there for him, he has to step up and take it.
Man, I just, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day.
You know, hey, go to the gym, man. Get a good workout, man.
I'm going to get a good workout, man. Yeah. I'm going to relax, man.
Yeah,
I'm going to calm down, man.
I'll be worried about you this afternoon.
I'm going to calm down. I'm going to get my blood pressure under control. I'm just going to calm down. Hey, I just, you know what? It's a Saturday morning. I blame a couple of people. I blame Warner St. Paul, and I blame Mike Wapshaw from Twitter last night.
Yeah, you know, if you want to go to a chill place, come over and watch some kids play hockey, okay? It's cold in there, okay?
Yeah, you all about it. You all about it right now. I need to take a chill pill. Oh my goodness!
Nah, you like you the best, man.
Hey, man, you're awesome, man. You are absolutely awesome. I mean, I love doing this, man. Whenever Cindy can't show up,
I say, do a podcast, man. Keeping it real
because we
see,
need
you get a podcast. You can really keep it real.
Because we need
you don't need no chill pills for that.
We need less of a Packer influence anyway, right? We need less of a Packer influence anyway. We need more, you know, of the hometown.
We need to spread things around, you know. You know, we're not just.
I'm not a hater. You know, and Cindy knows I love
him. I could talk about, you know, the landscape. You know, the NFL is bigger than our neighborhood.
Yeah, Cindy's my guy.
Yeah.
You guys do an awesome job each and every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. All right, hey, Trent, you did an awesome job today, man. We truly do appreciate it.
Thanks. And just by the way, the name of this song that we're closing with is called Chill Out.
Oh my god!
You know, you all right, man.
It's snowing, so I'm absolutely about to chill.
Like the boys in the hood say, you know what? I ain't mad at you.
All right. For Trent Tucker, I'm Henry Lake. We're out of here. Coming up next, Beyond the Pond, coming up next year on The Fan. Fullness and Micheletti.
You're listening to The Fan.
Hey, it's